started something this morning that I'd like to return to tonight in Micah chapter 7. And we discovered many things about the ministry of Micah. Number one, we determined that it is a difficult day. The task is great, and the people are in trouble. I believe that's clear, don't you? There was a great dispersion among the people. The truth being, the environment that we find stated before us in the book of Micah tells us much of what has transpired in the nation of Israel. They've been broken into two parchments, one being the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And he is from the little remnant that is left. The southern environment gave hope to the breath of God in his people. And I appreciate such words as this. What that means to me is I study revival. I like revival. I like to read about the great awakenings. I like to read about the Shantung revival. It took place in China. But you can't get no better picture of real revival than you find in the scriptures. It is one of the biggest highlights of all time when it comes to seeing where God is at work. We talked about three things that I want to return to tonight. I want to pick up and go to the mountain of hope. We found out that what was missing was fruition in the field. In the first verse, he gives us the warning of his dangers, the burden of his soul. He said, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits." I made reference to the book of Ruth. I made reference to what took place in the spring when they gathered up the harvest. And the one thing that I really had hopes to doing was to giving you a picture that they intentionally left behind some of the fruit. They left it behind for several reasons. Number one, they knew there'd be a day when somebody would benefit through what was left behind. Oh, Lord God. I want to say tonight, I appreciate the fact that the Lord, not by accident, but intentionally, left me some things to enjoy. But Micah tells us the tragedy. The tragedy of going back and finding no value. Finding nothing to feast on. Finding nothing to sustain life. That's where we're at tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a crisis. Micah points out not only what is missing in the field, but he mentioned what was missing in the family. The Bible spoke to us that even the good man has perished out of the earth. There's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Man's out for himself. Don't you fool yourself. He's out for himself. Only the regenerated power of God will change man's mind and change his heart and change his motives. Yes, sir. Great God Almighty, I feel God in here tonight. And I want to say not only he reveals that, he talked a little bit about what's happened in your house and what's happened in my house. He said the evil that they do was an evil of earnestness. They do it with all they are. I want to tell you, when righteous people do the wrong thing, we're no better than the world. I said we're no better than the world. God said when he goes to judging, he said judgment must begin at the house of God. When he starts cleaning up, he's going to clean us up first. Don't cuss the world out when we know that we need to do a little cleaning for ourselves. Amen. He said that we can't trust you in a friend. Now I want to tell you something. That was not God tearing away at the fiber of friendship. That was the Lord pointing out to man that another man does not have the means to fix it. That's all. Did you hear what I said? And I want to tell you, humanity today, as we find it in this world, it's a dog-eat, dog-eat world. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God was not tearing down the fiber of friendship. He was letting man know that as far as man is concerned, he can only go so far, and then it's bye-bye. It's leave you behind. It's just as far as she goes. There's no room left tonight for us to make believe to ourselves that we've got the answer to our problem. There's only one person that's got the answer to our problem, and it's God Almighty. Notice he dives deep within the fiber of our lives. He said, not only do we trust not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. He starts digging into what we have in our house, knowing that there's wives in the house and husbands, knowing that there's children in the other room. God begins to deal with all that. It's not only what's missing in the field, it's what's missing in the family. As I read on, he said in verse number 6, that the son dishonoreth the father. Let me tell you something tonight. You're here because you had a daddy. Now I know this society has corrupted what fatherhood's all about. They've tarnished it. They've done it and laughed about it. Hollywood's a mockery tonight because of how they're, are y'all with me? They're a mockery because of how they're handling business. But it is not a mockery when it comes to God. He put a man and a woman together because he knew they needed each other. And he knew that God, being first in their life, would bring about hope among humanity. It'd bring about fellowship and communion among God. Great God Almighty, I'm glad that the Lord knows what's in the field. Then the Lord knows what's in the family. I don't recommend being sick at all. But I tell you what, I feel pretty good right about now. I may feel like dying when I get done, but I feel real good right about this second right here. I want you to stand with me tonight because I want to read verse number 7. And I want you to notice the turn of the tide. I want to tell you tonight, we've got a God not only up in heaven, but a God in our heart by faith. That knows exactly how to manage his business and to take care of his children. Micah chapter 7 and verse number 7. If you found it, would you acknowledge by saying amen? The Bible said, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. God will hear me. Now I want you to look just for a matter of reference at verse 18 and verse 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. That's God putting a divine stamp on the fact that he wants man to know what he's after. He wants man to know what his mindset is. He wants man to know how much he cares and what he's after. Now, I'm kind of moved by verse number 19. I tell you, bless God, this will take you to the outer limits. This will make Mars and all the rest of them pay attention. Amen. He said he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our... I'm glad God can blow the devil out of man, aren't you? Ha! I'm glad God knows what to do when man messes up. You ever messed up? You ever done something that made your life look like a mockery? I'm glad God's got a cure for it. I'm talking to you tonight. God's got a cure for it. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins, into the depths of the sea. You can be seated. Man's always had a need. He's always had a need. Don't matter where you've been or who you talk to, man's always had a need. He's always had a need for somebody that would look after the affairs of his life and would offer him hope in the midst of great darkness. Not only did Micah present what's missing in the field, what's missing in the family, He lets us know what's missing in the faith. I want to say two or three things tonight I think are clear. And I want to admit to you tonight that when I first came to this chapter, I've never preached this, what I'm preaching to you tonight, or what I preached this morning. Never preached that earlier portion of that chapter. But that don't mean it hadn't been there all the time. It just means I ain't been smart enough to find it. What I want you to understand with me is that we have got to own up with where we are. The echo of danger is evident. Every time we think we've got it all together, we make a mess. Every time we think we've got the tiger by the tail, we wind up getting damaged. I'm here to inform you tonight that if we'll do what Micah says, it'll help us just as much as it helped him in his day. And all the church and living God said, I want you to notice the wording that appears to be our crutch in verse number 7. There's two or three things we need to consider. Number one, we need to consider what Micah said he will do. We need to consider who Micah said he would wait on. And then whom Micah said would hear when it's all over. Now I want to tell you something. What we want to do as Baptists is remove ourselves from personal responsibility. We want to try to make it look like somebody else ought to do something when it's us. We want everybody to think that we've got it all together when the bottom line is we do not. Now, I want you to notice that in the echo of danger, there is a visibility or a visible sign of corruption. Did you hear me? God don't make false warnings. Where Micah brings us to in the 7th verse is to the very place of his concerns. He not only has a concern for himself, he's got a concern for the nation. Now I'll tell you something. I have a concern for my nation tonight. I've got a concern for my family tonight. I've got a concern with my future tonight. And every piece of that falls into place. Every single piece of it. I want you to notice, first of all, that Micah makes it clear to whom has the answer to man's need. It's the Lord. Don't need to make believe ourselves, try to make believe in our mind that anybody else is going to fix our problem, because it'll never happen. It'll take God to fix our problem. Now I want you to look with me in verse number 7 closely. He said, therefore. Now, the word therefore, someone else said, you always ask the question, what's it there for? He's tying together everything he said in what I believe not to be only the 6 verses, but some others. And he's bringing us now to the crescendo of our hope. And that is to come where somebody can help you. It's like the doctor that you've been going to don't have the answer. And all of a sudden you find one that says, I know what your problem is and I know how to fix it. Great God, that's the kind of man I want to see. I don't want to go to somebody that's pessimistic about what he's going to do to me. Bless God, don't shoot me down before you ever start operating on me. Don't tell me I might be able to help you. I want to find somebody that's got knowledge that has helped somebody else before. Well, I don't know but one that's 100% proven he knows how to take care of people. Hey, little buddy. I don't know but one. I know that God's got an answer. I want to say, first of all, that Micah said, therefore, he was planting his feet. He was turning his heart. He was directing their lives. And I want to tell you tonight, if I can plant your feet, if I can point your heart, if I can cause you to look away from what's gone on that's wrong and cause you to see the one that can make it all right, it'll help you. Verse 7 again, class. He said, therefore will I look. Micah makes it clear now as to what has to happen. There must be an observance of the person that has the answer to meet every need. We need to start looking more to God than we do to anybody else. Number two, as I tried to reflect on this morning, we've got to lean in to what matters. We can't be turning around and looking behind us. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. One of the biggest falls that man ever makes is to look left or look right. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew that we had to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Amen. Amen. Well, there's not much of that left, is there? I can hear the echo of danger. I can see the signs of corruption. I want to say two things tonight about that. First of all, corruption is never a pretty sight. I don't care what you put on it. You take a whoremonger, they're always a whoremonger unless they get saved. You take a harlot and she can dress herself up and look like any other lady that walks in this church, but deep down inside, she's still who she is. It takes the cross of Calvary. Did you hear what I said? It takes the cross of Calvary to change who a person is. It takes the cross of Calvary to lay down the bottle from that man's hand. It takes the... Are y'all still with me? Great God, I want to tell you tonight, I do believe in my heart of hearts, when righteous people do the wrong things, it hurts. Not only will I declare to you tonight that corruption is never a pretty sight, it is never a positive note. You powder it up any way you want to, you'll never make it right. Did you hear me? I want to tell you something. Until you and I ever turn and come clear, we got to come clear with God. We can't ever get right with each other until we get right with God. And that's the reason I know a lot of people ain't right with each other, is because they won't get right with God. I want to tell you tonight, I see a visible sign of corruption, and it's explained. But I also see a victory of hope, and it's God designed. Look in verse number 7 now. He said, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, the God that he looks at is a God that was here before he got here, and the God that will be here when he's gone. Amen. Yeah. Now let me say something to you that might help you if you're a Bible student. Michael was a prophet during the same rendition of men like Isaiah. Isaiah tells us one of the most fabulous pictures ever known of our Savior. Gives us one of the greatest highlights. Anybody could ever paint a picture of what our Savior's done for us. But I'm glad that there's one that he knows is the answer for all men's lives, no matter where they're from and where they're going. He is the answer. I can see the devastation that sin has caused. Can you see what's happened to people's lives, and they're trying to live them without Jesus as Lord? Can you not see the very signs of sin? It shows on them. It's all over their face. And sooner or later, if it's not dealt with, it'll come out in their bodies. It will. Sin will kill you. I mean, it'll run you to the grave early. Yeah. And Micah makes it clear. He said, therefore, I want to tell you tonight, I can't answer for you. I can only answer for me. He said in verse number 7, therefore I will look. I don't know, but I, in my heart of hearts, I beg God, I can't help but think that maybe Micah, he's thinking, if I can get just God, if I can just get a vision, if I can just look toward heaven, great God, the Lord, everybody else will take a look. By the way, you do know what a prophet was. He was a man that was empowered to see things other people didn't see. He was a man empowered to say things other people couldn't say. He was a man empowered to do things other people couldn't do. Can I just tell you that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did them all three. Not only was he in the ministry of the prophet, but he was in the ministry of the priest. He was in the ministry of the king. I want to tell you, he is both prophet, priest, and king. I'm glad tonight I've got a Savior that'll look down upon me when my life's tarnished, great God, and tainted and bottomed out, I'm glad that there's a Lord up above that can help me. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I thought I'd read that little verse in 19 for you. He said that when it all came down to it and God was finished, he cast them in the depths of the sea. Now, most of you don't even understand what that means. If you want to get a real good definition of that, you got to study. They tell me that you can go for miles in certain portions of the sea. But they also tell me that one of the things is not merely how deep it is. It's the fact that, hey, it becomes darkened and you can't find your way. Hey, I'm great God. I'm here to tell you tonight that my Lord and my Savior and my God has buried my sins in the sea. You couldn't find them if you had the SBI and the FBI and the greatest scuba divers in all the Navy. I never have understood why people want to dig up their dirty sin. Please, if we ever get in a good testimony service, don't bring up your dirty laundry. Brag on the Lord washing you white and clean. Amen. God ain't never been honored by pulling out the stink rags. Just lift him up. Amen. Ha. Let the whole world know what he did for you. He saved you. And be careful that you don't go into too much detail. I want you to see tonight, God's people ought to be tired of living on the bottom. I want to say tonight, sin's caused a great devastation. It's brought a breach in the family. It's brought an error in the unity. It has broken the bands of harmony. It has dismissed the signs of hope. And it has just about torn the home apart to the place that it's no longer called a home. Corruption itself has brought about such a tarnish that our churches are almost maimed. Because we that are pronouncing cleansing and everlasting hope no longer take our place at the altars of God and find ourselves being washed with the word and washed by the blood, that we have hope eternal and life everlasting. I want to say tonight also, while I'm on it, we live during a twisted society. People have changed what is wholesome and right and godly and turned it into some kind of dirty, vulgar stuff. It's a shame and disgrace in the nostrils of God for him to even smell it. People tolerate things now that 30 years ago it would have never been dreamed possible. You know I'm telling it right. And I want to tell you the sadness of it all is that we that believe the right stuff, go to the right church, sing the right songs, sometimes are baited into thinking just like they think. I want to say people need to come to the place that Micah did. I want to ask you a sobering question tonight. What kind of devastation appears in your life? What kind of things have marked your heart? Do you find there's a cure? Do you know that the God I read about in verse number 7 is the same cure for you as it was for Micah? God lets us know who he is, and you got to know the same personality that God was, Jesus is. Right? Notice now again, he said, therefore will I look. He had to turn us to the right person. He had to take our eyes to the right place. He had to put our hearts on the right things. I want to say tonight, without question or apology, we need to keep our eyes in the clouds. Last time I checked, he said, we shall be called up to meet him. Amen. And so ever, listen, I'm glad that one of these days, the darkness that we experience during the night will no longer become darkness for the children of Amen. God. For we shall gather with him. He said there'd be no need for light up there. For the Son of the S-O-N of God shall be the light. You say, preacher, where's my hope? I've been trying to tell you for the last 2 minutes. It is in the Lord himself. You need to look at him. You need to look at him for yourself. And after you look at him for yourself, you need to look at him for your family. After you look at him for your family, you need to look at him for your fruits. And after you look at him for your fruits, you need to look at him for your future. I want to tell you tonight, everything that he laid in line.
He laid in balance. He laid in time. Great God, I never knew this was in there. I want to tell you, this is so fabulous. I mean, this is wonderful. Amen. Notice not only did Micah identify the person of our hope, he gives us, praise God, something to encourage our hearts. He said, therefore will I look unto the Lord. Number two, he said, I will wait for the God of my salvation. I know how the devil plays. He spent some time sending some of his little peons down there to agitate me and aggravate me. Why, don't you know waiting around on God's a silly thing? Let me tell you something. There's some things I never would have gotten if I hadn't waited on God.
Right.
There's some things I never would have seen if I had not seen them by faith. I want to tell you tonight, it's not only what's missing in the field. It's what's missing in the family, but it's what's missing in our faith. We've stopped looking to him. We've stopped looking for him. Is that right? We need to turn back to him. He's the only one that can meet our every need. I can not only see that he gave a solemn warning, I think he gives us a picture of national disaster. Does God love us tonight? Does God care about our condition? Can God do something about our situation? Why under God are we not looking to him for it? Why under God are we not giving it to him? I want to tell you, there's never been a man so bad God can't break him. God can go get him. God can go get him. I want to say that one of the first things I think that Micah gets a glimpse of now is grace. When they saw the Lord, they saw grace. You said, I'm not so sure about it. Did I not read you verse number 18? He said, who is like unto thee? Who is a God like unto thee? That's a capital G, by the way. If it ain't capital in your Bible, you need a new Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Yes. I want to tell you right now, old Micah, he was on the right track. He was listening to the right voice. He had the right motives. And I want to say tonight, I have no apologies for the road I traveled with the Lord. It's been good for me. It's been a help for me. I want to say that what he saw in the people broke him. He saw fruit trees that were without fruit. He experienced frequent trouble that were without resolve. No one to conquer. But now for the first time, he sees somebody that can bring revival and restore hope. Is that not what we're after? I want to tell you tonight, you got to be careful. This little thing we call the human heart, it'll mislead you. It'll lie to you, boy. It will lie to you. It'll tell you all kinds of stuff and leave you wanting. I want to say, what I see now in verse number 7 is Micah's most positive approach to changing lives. Because what he found in God. You know, I've seen some pretty rough people in my day. I've been around some fellas that have been to prison, and I befriended them. I've been around people that was left and nobody seemed to care. And I've watched God do a lot of stuff. But I'll tell you one thing. I've never seen anything more frightening than the compromise of the local church in the last 20 years. It really disturbs me. If I've ever seen a time that the people of God ought to make a turn to the altar, it's right now. If I've ever said any one thing that I think is the key to us finding hope, boy, when righteous people do unrighteous things, it's time to get in the altar.
Yes, sir.
Let me not only tell you what he said he was going to do in verse number 7, looking. Let me tell you what's accomplished by waiting. Number one, he said, I will wait for the God of my salvation. Now, class, you got to picture something. There were two kingdoms, the northern and the southern. The northern kingdoms had already been taken. Between the Assyrians and the facing the Babylonian captivity, there was a great nervousness. You ever thought about somebody coming in and separating you and your child? I'm not talking about just for the moment. I'm talking about forever. I'm talking about the little face that you look in tonight is a face that only you have in your mind when they're finished. That's what humanity does when they are left to themselves. But the Lord never does that. When he threw his arms open at Calvary, it was not just nails to a cross, but it was time in eternity. Held together by love everlasting. Great God, held by love everlasting. They never have figured out why a man hanging on the cross, every other thief drops his head, but not this man on the cross. He lifts up his head. I want to tell you tonight, it's comforting to my heart. It's joy bubbles to my soul to think that my Lord not only says look like Micah looked, but it says wait like Micah waited. That word for wait doesn't just mean to stay behind. I want to point out two things that's clear about it. Number one, it does mean to wait, but it means to wait with hope.
Amen.
Can I just paint a little picture? I don't know. I'm trusting, praying that whatever I'm doing right now is purified, so I trust I won't get you sick. God did something in the remnant of them little disciples in John 14. You know what he was saying? In John 14, Jesus was waving goodbye. He saw their faces.
Yes, sir.
But he saw past that.
Oh, yes.
He saw what's down and right in here.
Amen.
He saw what was in the fiber of who they were. He knew whether they were in it or out of it. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. He knew what was going on in their spirit.
Amen.
He said, let not your hearts be troubled. That let not only means right then, it means right now.
Amen.
Hello,
amen.
I'm here to tell you right now, just as Jesus told the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. He says to us tonight, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
You believe in God? There he is. Believe also in me.
Yes, sir.
You know what Jesus was saying? Look, are you listening?
Amen.
I'm just going away. I'm going back where I came. But I'll be back for you after a while.
Amen.
I'll be back for you after a while. Oh, Lord. Every once in a while, God begins to move in my heart and move in my soul and tell me that he'll be after me after a while. I said, after a while. Boy, they sing that song every once in a while. He did the same thing in the book of the Thessalonians.
Amen.
Oh, yes, he did. He let them know. He said, listen. He said, don't you stand here in sorrows, people that have no hope. Don't you live life like I'm never coming back again. Great God Almighty.
Yes.
I want to tell you, you would not need to be weary and well-doing. He's going to be around the corner after a while.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. The signs of the time. I mean, there's a little change in weather. What we're going to have is better than a change of weather. What we're going to have is a change of location. Great God. Great God. Great God Almighty. Won't it be a happy time when we get out of here and stand inside the gates of glory? Yeah. Paul tried to tell them. He said, you have followed. And you have stood. And you have stayed. But there's something that you need to understand. There's somebody that died for us that one day shall come back to get us. He said it. I can't get past this. He said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you've ever given any consideration of that, but that means get out of here by God, not nobody else. Getting out of here by God and no one else. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. He not only declares that we wait in hope, but he declares we trust with confidence. If this is what it takes to get us inside the gate, just sit still. But sit still in hope. You see, one of the biggest misconceptions that Elijah had was why he was at the brook. By the way, I am prone to believe that Isaiah is a picture of the person that gets depressed. The down and outers. And he's a man of God. You say, what do you want to tell me all that for? Well, you figure it out. All right, this crowd that thinks that you've got to always look real spiritual, you know. There's a couple things I've got to always consider. You said, how you doing, Pastor? I think, well, you know, I'm glad to be here, but I've got a headache. I ain't going to lie about it. Amen. Well, I did a while ago. I don't right now. That's kind of amazing, ain't it?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, to tell you, where I see him is anticipating with trust, waiting in hope. Have you any patience for what God's doing in your life? Any at all? He said, not therefore, you with me now, say amen. He said, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Up until this point, those people have lived in defeat. But when you get to where he is now in the seventh verse, he said, I'm going to wait for God. That's the Hebrew word, Elohim, in the Hebrew language. It reveals God as the mighty God. You know what he was saying? Won't live in defeat no more. Oh, won't that be a happy day?
Amen.
You know, won't it be wonderful to be somewhere where there won't be no sickness and no sorrow? Well, that's going to be wonderful, isn't it? My little finite mind can't hardly calibrate all that. But I want to tell you one thing. I am so moved by not only who he looks to, but I want you to be mindful of him as he waits for, who he waits for. He said, I'm looking for the exceeding God, the mighty God of my salvation. Three, four things, and I'm finished. You ready? Number one, I want you to be mindful that he pointed out that God was his salvation. Now, in the Old Testament, the magnitude of hope was a word called deliverance. See, if you asked an Israelite about deliverance, they could tell you, sis. They would take you back to the Egyptian days where they were held captives. And they didn't have anything. All they had was what they were surrounded with. And they were made to do. They were victims of circumstance and location. They lived in that day after day after day until God says to Moses, go get my people.
Amen.
And he says, I will deliver. And Moses questioned again. And he said, Lord, who will I tell them has sent me? And he said, you tell them I am. Now, when he couples that together, it has even more force behind it.
Yes,
he was exposing them to a new liberty. He was declaring to them a deliverance. Thirdly, he was revealing to them prosperity. You see, if we just live for God and live right and do what's right, we're going to prosper because the Bible said we would.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Yes, that is right. Fourthly, we shall live in safety. See, up until this point, the Assyrians had created great... By the way, let me tell you something tonight about what's going on in the world, in the war. Study sometimes.
Yes, go ahead.
They're a vicious people.
Yes, they are.
The war that we're in right now, overseas, it's a vicious war. There is a knife that is sharp with stuff that you and most people like you are unaware of. They live with the past in mind, and they're out for revenge.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
It's the thread that keeps tying together constant turmoil. I want to tell you, there is a positive approach to the negative conflicts you and I face. Number one, we can look to the Lord.
Amen.
Number two, we can wait on the Lord. And number three, rest assured, He will hear us.
Amen.
Latter portion. He said, I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. I told you it was His liberty, His deliverance, His prosperity, His safety. Right?
Amen.
And the latter portion of that verse declares, my God will hear me. Now, I don't know if you can dissect this or digest this or not, but I'm going to give it to you. He uses some pronouns that deal directly with himself. And he finishes it up about this liberty and mentions himself by the word M-E, me. That's another little piece. If he didn't use his name, that indicates something in particular. Number one, God doesn't have any problem discerning the voice of His children. All you got to do is call on Him. Notice what He said, class. He said, my God will hear me. Well, preacher, why is it so important that He do all the praying? He wasn't doing it all. He was just doing His part. I didn't get that one out of a commentary. See, I don't care how good you think so-and-so prays in this church. That doesn't alleviate the fact you ought to pray.
That's exactly right.
You know, I don't guess I've ever told you this. I never talked to you. You call on people to pray all the time. You called on a few of them to pray around here. Ain't nobody never called on them before.
Amen.
I guarantee you, if you go talk to them, they will tremble in their shoes.
That's right.
That'll make your heart skip a beat. Huh? Let me tell you something. I've had people tell me they don't pray in public. Do you pray in private? Don't make any difference. You forget this crowd that's around you. If you ever get called on to pray, you just pray like you're in private.
Amen.
Don't make no difference. If you got to call Toby the dog's name and Susie the cat, it don't make a flipping difference. You just pray just like you pray, and if they don't nobody else like it, that's their problem, not yours. Amen? Amen? I want to tell you tonight, when righteous people doing righteous things, they better remember there's a God to look to. There's a God to wait on. There's a God that'll hear and do something about it.
Amen.
I'm finished, I reckon. He said He'll declare. He has no trouble discerning the voice of His children. He'll declare that they are His and no one else's. I want to tell you something tonight. I believe if there ever has been a time when God's little children need to do something about where they are, I believe we're in that day. I believe what's missing in the field ought to move us. What's missing in the family ought to move us. What's missing in the faith ought to move us. Don't you? Let's pray. Our Father, I want to say thank You tonight for helping me. Oh God, seems like every day is a new turn in life. And a time when I've got to find if it's really real or not. And maybe today's been one of those times when I really felt inadequate and felt that I didn't have it and that maybe I just needed something that nobody else could give me. I want to say publicly thank You. Thank You for caring enough about the body of Your people and the voice of Your servant that You would come to where we are and enable us to do what we do tonight because we don't do it for ourselves. And I pray that in this hour of great need, in this day when so much has been tarnished through worldliness, help us to turn back to You. Help us to be positive. Help us to be purposeful. Help us, dear God, to be waiting, and we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I appreciate you listening, huh?